Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. We are supposed to set our sights on heaven. There's no two ways about it. You want to live a life that would be glorifying our Lord. It says, let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Now, some people do only think about things on earth. They don't think about anything of heaven. They don't read the word. They really don't know what is going on. Verse 3 and 4, he says, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now then, unfortunately, some of us didn't stay dead. You know, after we died in Christ and were baptized and were raised to walk in newness of life, some of us have been resurrected, have we not? It says, and when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And you know, that may not be too long off. What if one morning the eastern sky were to burst open and there stood the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he said, come up here. Well, let me tell you, I'm going. I'm going to be on the first load. You know, I'm not going to argue with the boss. If he comes, I'm not even going to look back. You know, I don't want to be like Lot's wife. Do you?
Oh, no.
You look back and turn into a pillow of salt. I do not want to be attached to the things of this world. So if the Lord comes again, I'm just going to say, here I am, Lord, take me. I'm ready to go. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Of course, the only thing about it is that when he takes us away, the Christians, those that are left, it's going to be a sad state of affairs on this earth for those that are left. I've read the end of the book. And you do not want to be here during all that. Now, the other day, I did discuss with a pastor, and he literally told me he couldn't believe anybody could be so stupid to believe that there's going to be a rapture of the church. I told him, I said, well, I guess I'm one of them stupid ones then, because I believe there's going to be one. And I thought to myself, how can we all study the same book and all of us believe so many different things? I will have to say, I said some things that he had never walked in. He had never walked in faith. He'd never seen any miracles or healings. But he was really down on me because I believed in the rapture. And then, of course, I told him some things about faith and what I'd seen God do. And he literally thought I was crazy. He took an offense at me. And really, he did. And so he went and asked a man that he knows extremely well and has the greatest respect for and says, is something wrong with him? He says, absolutely not. He said, Thurman is a man of God and he has seen all these miracles. He said, this stuff he's talking about, he's really seen these things? He said, oh, what he told you tonight ain't nothing compared to what he's seen. Nothing. He said, you know, it's awesome. And the man told him, said, I know some of the people that he's prayed for, and I've seen awesome things that our God has done when he prays for people. So he said, yes. So the next night, the man called me out when he was there and says, I have to apologize to you. I said, for what? He said, I took offense at what you said. He said, I never walked in the place where you walk. I never saw the miracles or the healings that you saw. I didn't think they were real. So he said, I took offense at you. I thought there was something wrong with you. But he said, I have to apologize to you. He said, obviously, God is using you in a mighty way for his kingdom. Now, does God use different people different ways for his kingdom?
Yes,
yes he does. And am I glad he uses me?
Amen.
Yes, I am. Do you want him to use you?
Yes.
Yes, I would hope so. That's what he wants. He may not use you to do what he's using me for, but I guarantee he's got something, and who knows, it may be even more powerful and better for you than what he's used me for. But I just stand in awe at every time I pray for someone and see a miracle happen. I just stand in awe to think that our King is right here, and he's got to be the one that's doing these things. It certainly ain't me. So every time somebody gets healed or blind eyes get opened or a leg gets healed or whatever, you know, he done it. It wasn't me. But I get to tell them what causes it. You know, just like little Trevor, y'all, some of y'all were here just a few weeks ago when you saw the 18-year-old, 19-year-old Trevor give his testimony about his broken leg and how that he had the faith to walk out of here on a broken leg with both bones broken. And then that was on Sunday. And come Wednesday, it was hurting him so bad, he called back and he wanted to talk to me, but he got Cheryl. And when he called back and said, "Cheryl, I've got to talk to Pastor," said, "My leg is killing me." And she said, "Well, Trevor, I talked to your mother, and I found out that you have unforgiveness towards your birth father." And he said, "Yes, I really don't like him at all." Well, because he'd been mean to him. Now, his adoptive dad was a good man, you know, and he treated him like a son. And so he loved him. But Cheryl told him, said, "Well, the reason you got your right leg broken was because of your unforgiveness towards your real dad. Now, you have to forgive him. You need to write him a letter and tell him you forgive him and that you will love him." And he said, "I will do it. I will do it." He sat down and wrote his dad a letter and forgave him. And within about 2 weeks, Trevor's broken leg and broken ankle was completely healed. And he was running and playing. And he came here to give his testimony. And some of y'all were here and saw him give that testimony. I stand in awe to think of a leg that's tore up so bad that it can never be fixed, it can never walk again, and today the boy's running hurdles, you know. I mean, man, you talk about a good job. Our King does good work. But I love to see God do those kind of things, you know. But he's the one that does it, not me. It says, "And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Wow, that's going to be something, isn't it, to be a part of the church of the living God? Wow. Okay, verse 5 and 6, let's go on here. "So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you." Now, these things are lurking within every one of us. "Have nothing to do with sexual sin." It's just like I told a girl the other day. She said something about how men, she said, "I do not understand men, even men in the church. If I go on a date with a man in the church, it's like all he wants is sex." I said, "Well, let me tell you something that you need to know as a woman." I said, "Most women don't understand this." I said, "But every man tries a woman he goes with to find out if she's going to let him have sex or not. Can I trust you?" I said, "There's been cases where young women and young men are going together, going to get married, already got the ring, already got the marriage license, and then he keeps trying, and then finally she gives in, and then he runs off and leaves her, cancels the wedding." I've seen that happen, not just once or twice. But I said, boys are made like that. They want to know if the girl they're going with, "Can I trust you?" Now then, if you say you love me and you're going to marry me and you won't let me have sex with you until you marry me, then I can trust you after I marry you that I won't have to worry about you running around on me after we get married. I said, but sexual sin is in every man. I said, I've never talked with a man. I don't care whether he was 10 years old or 110 years old, that every once in a while, whenever he's somewhere, if he looks at a pretty woman, the thoughts come to his mind, "I wonder how that would be." Every man has thoughts in his mind about a woman when he sees her. That's why you have to learn to control your eyes. That's why God tells us in his word, put to death these sinful natures, earthly things lurking within you, have nothing to do with sexual sin, because he knows how he made you. He made you as a sexual being, and he made you as a man to want to have sex with a woman. That's the way God made you. You have to control that. And that's why we got the problem we got in the world today, in the church. The women, they're saying, "Okay, well, if I'm going to go with him and if I don't let him have sex with me, then I'll probably lose him." No, you have sex with him, you're going to lose him. Some of us learn to master this, and some of us do not master this. Now then, without God, you can't control it. You're going to do something stupid. But with God living in you, you can control your sexual desires. You can learn to look at a woman in her eyes. You don't have to look at her body parts every time you look at her. You can look at her in her eyes and never have those desires. They won't be there. So I said, just tell them no. I will never have sex with anybody until I am married. I said, then stand your ground. Put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. And the first one he starts out with is sexual sin. Then he says impurity. Well, let me tell you, we're all full of impurity of all kinds. He says impurity and lust. You know, it's not difficult at all to lust for all kinds of things. Well, when you're young, you lust for one thing. When you're old, you lust for something else. I mean, we have these things. God tells us not to do this, right? Do not lust for things. In other words, if you see something you think you want and you have the money to buy it, and it's not going to take away from your tithe, or you're not going to take away from your gifts to the Lord, and it's not going to hurt your family anyway, you're still going to have money to buy everything you need to pay your utilities and pay your car payment or whatever, your house payment. Then if you see something and you say, well, I'd love to have that, but that's going to take away from my family, so I don't have to have that. But if you say, I got to have that, now y'all may not eat for a week because I'm going to have this. Now that's lust. So we want to get rid of that. It says, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger will soon come upon those who do such things. Now, whose terrible anger? I don't think I want God on my case. Do you? I mean, God's terrible anger, I believe I'd pass on that one. But it says there, if all these things, if we don't put to death the things he tells us to put to death, if we continue to live in sexual immorality, impurity, lust, shameful desires, and be greedy and all this stuff, if we continue to disobey God, eventually his terrible wrath is going to come upon us and something's going to happen. And I'll tell you some of the things that's going to happen to you. Some of the things that'll happen, he'll break you. Financially, he'll break you. That's one way God gets your attention. If you get up every morning and you go outside and you've got a nice car paid for, you know, there's no car payments, you got a beautiful home, a 3-bedroom and everything, and it's paid for, your insurance is paid up, you got $10,000 in the bank and everything's going, you got food in the cabinet, you got money in your back pocket. Who needs God today? Nobody. You know, I don't need God. I'm okay. Look what I have done.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Make Allowance for Each Other's Faults, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.